to see everybody here this morning. I have a question I want to ask all of you. And I want you to be honest in trying to answer this question as you examine your life and your relationship with your God and your Savior Jesus Christ. Can you be bought at a price? That's the question. Is there a price that someone can offer you that you would be willing to let go of your relationship with God, let go of your relationship with Christ, if they will just pay this price? Can you be bought at a price? The first individual we're going to be looking at this morning was bought at a price. His name was Judas. In Matthew 26, 14 through 16, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" Judas had a price. Judas could be bought. And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. From that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. When you read about Judas, how many of you, when you've read about him, think, "I can't believe he did this. I can't believe he betrayed Christ and sold him out for 30 pieces of silver, that Judas could be bought." Okay, we understand that about Judas. What about you? Do you have a price? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, he says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." That is a statement of reality. You cannot serve God and money at the same time. And yet I fear sometimes we think we can. We think we can find a happy balance and medium between the two to where we're able to serve money and God at the same time and not sell out a relationship with God for physical things. Over in Matthew again, in chapter 13, verse 22. "Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word," now notice this, "and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Here is somebody who has received the seed. They received the word of God into their heart. They had a relationship with God through their faith. But the cares of the world, and notice the next phrase, "the deceitfulness of riches." These people had a price that they could be bought for, that they would surrender their relationship with God for, and that was the cares of this world. You ever thought about that phrase, the cares of this world? That's just basically trying to survive. Trying to juggle all the responsibilities that are coming at you. Trying to answer everybody who's calling your name and taking care of everything. Here's this world. They can consume you to where you give all of your time and all of your effort and trying to keep all your ducks in a row and everything in order. And in the process, you've let go of your relationship with God and have completely lost focus of heaven and God. Because all your mind is here on the earth and trying to keep everything in order. The other phrase, the deceitfulness of riches, that's a very interesting phrase, isn't it? It tells you that you can start thinking that material things are what make me fulfilled and valuable. Material things I possess is what determines my self-worth. And so I need to try to get as much material things as I possibly can, and then I will finally be happy. How many of you have this thought sometime in your mind? If I can just possess this thing, this one thing, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be at peace. If you think that way at all, you will never be happy. You you will never be at peace, and you have fallen into the trap of the deceitfulness of riches, thinking that the material possessions bring you joy and fulfillment in life. They do not. Your self-worth and your self-value is not determined by your bank account and your possessions. It is determined by your soul and your relationship with your God. Do not fall into the trap of thinking, if I had certain possessions, then I would be happy. It's not on the sermon outline, but from the book of Ecclesiastes, I believe it's in the 5th chapter. He says, the one who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. And the one who loves abundance will not be satisfied with increase. You're never going to be satisfied. You're chasing after the carrot. You're thinking, I can keep a balance. I can chase after material things. I can love money and love God at the same time. No, you can't. No, you can't. And you're going to love the one and despise the other. What happens as people start loving material possessions and let go of God? In Luke 14:33, it says, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Now let me ask you this. Just be honest. Would you let go of all of your possessions? All of your possessions, every single penny you own, every possession that you consider to be yours, would you let go of all of them if that's what it took for you to be right with God? If you answer the question, no, you can be bought. You have a price then. If you're not willing to forsake all, you cannot be his disciple. Over in Matthew 4, we see the temptation of Jesus. In verses 8 through 10, again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Here you see Satan trying to buy off Jesus. And what he tries to buy him with, what he offers him, get this now, is everything. All the world, all the kingdoms of the world, and everything in them. Jesus could not be bought. He did not have a price. Do you have a price? Can Satan dangle some trinket in front of you? Some thing? That's what he said to Jesus. All these things I will give you. Can Satan dangle a trinket in front of you and you go, ooh, look at that. I want that. I need that. I got to have it. And I will sacrifice my family. I will sacrifice my marriage. I will sacrifice my children. I will sacrifice my relationship with God to have it. Are you chasing after the almighty dollar? Is it your God? You cannot serve it and God the Father at the same. Over in Hebrews 13:5-6, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Covetousness is greediness to where I want more. I need more. I've got to have more. And I'm not going to be content and fulfilled until I get more. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Look at the next phrase. Be content with such things as you have. Let's stop it right there. Please answer the question. Are you content with who you are and where you are now? Or do you have in your mind this concept, I will be content when? If you put a stipulation on your contentment, you will never be content. Because your contentment is not based upon the physical of this world. Your contentment is based upon your relationship with God, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's where true peace comes from. That's where true fulfillment comes from. Our purpose in existence is our relationship with our Creator. It is our relationship with our God. It's not the things of this world. So, can you be bought at a price? Sometimes the price is not money. In Genesis chapter 25, 29 to 34, now Jacob cooked a stew. And Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. Let's just stop right there. I've often wondered, how weary is weary? He was out there in the field, and he was hunting, and it's been one of those days he didn't get anything. He's been walking, and he's tired, and he's hungry. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. Now then, would you sell your inheritance at this moment? You're hungry, really weary. And that food looks so good and it smells so good. You've got to have it and you've got to have it now. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die. So what does this birthright do me? Then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, how many of you have ever read this story and thought, you got to be kidding me? You sold your birthright for a bowl of soup and a piece of bread. Wow. You can be bought off pretty easy, Esau. Because you're hungry. Because you're weary in your flesh, and you're hungry, and you got to have it now, you will let go of your inheritance for right now getting a bowl of food. He had a price, and his price was the desires of his flesh. The desires of his flesh and his hunger. At that moment, he wanted. At that moment, it was everything. At that moment, the food was more important than his inheritance coming in the future. Let me ask you, would you sell your birthright? Would you sell your inheritance from your Father in heaven? Would you? You have a price. Can you be bought? Over in 1 Timothy chapter 5, 11 through 12. But refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. I want you to look at this text closely with me. These young widows, they desire to marry. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be married. There's nothing in the world with feeling lonely and wanting a husband or a wife and wanting to be married. But they wanted to be married so bad that this is what they were willing to do. It says they had become wanton. Now, I'm sure a lot of you are going, what is that word? That's not Chinese food. Wanton means you are willing to become sexually loose. And immoral. You see, their religion, their relationship with God and their morality was standing in the way of their getting married. There were men around them who would not have them and not marry them because of their sexual standard of purity. And they wanted to be married so bad. I got to have a man in my life so much. I will sacrifice my relationship with Christ. It says they became wanton against Christ and they cast off their first faith. Their religion was standing in the way of their having a husband. And so, did these women have a price? Could they be bought? Yes, they could be bought. And the price was a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband. So I come back and ask you the question. Do you have a price? Can you be bought? Will you sacrifice your inheritance with God for a sexual relationship in this world? Will you sacrifice your inheritance with God to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or get married and let go of your relationship with God because it's standing in the way? It's a burden. It's an anchor to your having a girlfriend or a boyfriend or getting married. Proverbs 11:22 says, as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Now then, if you take a ring of gold and stick it in a pig's nose, is the pig going to go, oh, look at this beautiful ring of gold. I must keep it clean. I must take care of it. No, the pig doesn't realize it's a treasure and he just sticks it in the mud. A lovely woman is a woman who's a great treasure. But she wants a man in her life so bad, she will give herself to a man who does not see the treasure she is, and will take her and drag her into the mud, and not appreciate the treasure that she is. Now then, if you are in the audience this morning and you are single, listen very closely to me, please. If you are truly a Christian, and I put that if at the very beginning. If you are truly a Christian trying to serve your God by your faith, trying to keep the morals of Christianity by faith in your life, you are a great treasure. You are more precious than rubies. Do not give yourself to a man or a woman in the world who will not recognize the great treasure you are. Do not desire a woman or a man to be in your life so much that you will take someone to come into your life and take your life and then stick it in the mud because they cannot see the great treasure that you are. Keep yourself for a man or for a woman who is worthy of you, who will recognize the great treasure you are and treat you as the great treasure you are. And see your relationship with God as a reason they want to be with you. Because they want you to help them and your family get to heaven together. Do not get so caught up in your sexual desires and your need for somebody to be in your life that you will go into sin to have it. You will compromise the morals of Christianity to have it. If that describes you, you can be bought at a price. And you are no better off than Esau. Because you are getting rid of your inheritance to God for some pleasure in the moment. You have price. Matthew 4, 2 through 4. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Here again, you see Satan tempting Jesus. And how is he trying to strike him? The desires of the flesh. Jesus is hungry. And listen, folks, he was more hungry than Esau. He hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan attacks him right there. Turn the stones to bread. Jesus understood reality, though. And the reality is that man does not live by bread alone. My life is not because of my food in my pantry. My existence and my life is because of my God and my relationship with him. You live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And it is God and your relationship with him that must always come first and not the desires of your flesh. Psalms 37 and 7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Look at the first part of the verse. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. God knows your needs. God knows where you are. And the Lord will provide. Pray to God to give you this day your daily bread. He will provide your physical needs. It is okay to pray to God for a husband or a wife or children. Hannah prayed for children. It is okay to pray to God for him to bless you with your physical needs. But wait on the Lord's answer. And don't have to have it and have it now. And I got to have it now at any cost. If you have to have what you need now at any cost, you can be bought at a price. Matthew 6:2 says, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men from men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. Here's another price that people will accept to let go of their relationship with God. And that is the glory from men. We want people to like us so much. And we love the praise of men and the acceptance of men around us, that we will let go of our relationship with God in order to have it. John 12:42-43, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Why? Lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They had a price. They could be bought. And their price was the praise of men. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And for the praise of men, they would hold their tongue and not openly confess their faith in Christ, because they did not want what the people say about them and do to them. And so to get along with people, they let go. Matthew 10:37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now look at this text. Let me ask you, how many of you love your mom? I do. How many of you love your dad? I do. How many of you love your sons and your daughters? There's nothing wrong with loving your family. But is more important to you than pleasing your God, you can be bought. You have a price. And the price is pleasing your family, keeping them happy and satisfied at the sacrifice of your relationship with God. Do not ever put your physical family ahead of your relationship with your God. Over in Luke 6:26, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. You know what's required for all men to speak well of you? You got to be a great actor. You got to be an awesome actor. And what you do is you listen to the people you are around. You observe the way they are living. And you deduce, what do I have to say? What do I have to do for them to like me? And you will say it, and you will do it, just because you want them to like you. Would you sell your relationship with God to be popular at school, to be popular in the community, to have the people of the community like you and get along with you? To compromise with Lindell, have the people of Lindell or Van think highly of you and like you and want to be around you. Can you be bought? And is your price the praise of men and having everybody like you? One of the best texts that shows you people that are willing to go contrary to the flow is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel 3:16-18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Before I go any further, let's give you the setting. Nebuchadnezzar, the king and the emperor of the Babylonian Empire, has set up this golden altar. And he's called everybody who's anybody to come. And whenever they hear the sound of music, to fall down and worship the golden idol. And so, can you imagine this now? We're not talking about 10 or 20 people. We're talking about basically the government of Babylon and all of its provinces. Anybody who was anyone. And they're all there. And here comes the music. And everybody bows down. Ask you, is that peer pressure? I would tell you that's probably the strongest peer pressure you could ever imagine yourself in. When everybody around you, literally everybody around you, is doing it and bowing down to the idol. Except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And whenever they were told by the king, if you don't do this, we're going to cast you into the burning fiery furnace. Verse 17, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. That's courage. And that's the courage you're going to have if you want to be a Christian in the world today. When it is true, the vast majority are going into the world and living in sin and immorality. And when you go to school, it seems like everybody's doing it because, guess what? Everybody is doing it. But will you go contrary to the flow of your culture and stand up and say, I will not do it. And I don't care what anyone says about me. I don't care what anyone thinks about me. And I don't care what they do to me. I'm not going to do it. not give in to the pressures of the world, to where you just want people to like you and be popular. And the cost is the compromising of your relationship with your God. Stand your ground. Hold your head high. Never be ashamed of who you are. You're children of God. Never be ashamed of your Savior Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you. And never be ashamed of any of the teachings of our God and our Savior. Hold your head high and take the slings and the arrows that come from following our Savior. So I ask you the same question I asked at the beginning. Can you be bought at a price? Is your price material things that you will let go of your relationship with God just to attain these things in your life and possess them? Is your price the desires of your flesh to where you will let go of your relationship with God just to have it and have it now? Is your price the praise of men? Liked and popular by the world around you? Can you be bought? I would hope and I would pray that your answer would honestly be, no, I cannot and I will not ever be bought and surrender my relationship with my God for anyone or anything. I will hold on to my inheritance regardless of what anyone says or does to me. I appreciate your kind attention. There may be somebody here this morning who is not in Christ yet. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to openly confess the faith that is in your heart, we would hope that motivated by your faith, you'd be willing to repent of your sins and follow after teachings of our God. If you are willing to confess your faith and repent of your sins, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God already, and as you're examining yourself, you realize, wait a minute, I am compromising. I am selling out. Come home. There will be no price worth hell. Nothing, nor anyone, will be worth it. Come home and get right with your God. We'll pray for you, pray with you. We'll do the very best we can to encourage you and strengthen you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song which has been selected.